From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Special Coverage. I'm Beth Ruyak. Stephon Clark's family is planning a weekend of remembrance, March 15th to the 18th, to mark the one-year anniversary of Stephon's death. Some events will be hosted by his brother, Stevante. Yesterday, the family called for unity after the findings on Saturday announced by Sacramento County District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert.
This will be a way to not only honor and remember the life of Stephon, but uplift and bring communities together in a time of healing. We all need healing, not just the Clark family was affected by this, but the whole Meadowview community, Sacramento community, and national community were affected by this.
And here's the statement of finding by the DA in that press conference she held on Saturday.
We will not charge these officers with any criminal liability related to the shooting death and the use of force on Stephon Clark.
So that's the DA's decision. Was a crime committed by the officers? The office says no. However, there are still pending reports from the California Attorney General's office and the internal review by the Sacramento Police Department. Police Chief Daniel Hahn talked with me just within the last hour, and I asked his reaction to the DA's press conference. I also asked whether he had reviewed her 63-page report before she made it public.
Well, I knew most of the facts because our departments investigated most of those facts. In terms of the report, no, I did not receive the report beforehand, and I have it now, but I must be honest, I haven't read the whole thing. My reaction to her press conference was something that I knew even before the press conference, and that is I'm appreciative that the press conference was coming because that means the process is moving along. But at the same time, I also know that it wasn't going to change certain things, no matter what her decision was. And first and foremost, the family who lost a son, a grandson, a father, you know, no matter what the decision of the DA or the future decision of the Attorney General, that's not going to bring him back. And so I can't imagine the kind of pain that they're in and will probably never go away would be my guess. Or the challenges that the city has faced, that the police department has faced, because our community and our police department also lost a young man. And we've been through a lot of challenges, too. Not as much, obviously, as the family. But no decision by the district attorney or the attorney general will change that. My hope is, though, that we move forward and that we institute things continue to look at policies that we've already done some of, but we constantly do that, that we ensure that we take every step possible that significantly lessens the possibility of this ever happening again, because there's no winners in this and a lot of pain that goes along with it.
Chief, if the DA decided not to file charges based on the review and the evidence, what would be different in an internal review by your department? What would prompt a different outcome?
Well, there's two steps to our internal review. The first one we've already done, and that's a high-level look at the organizational performance during that incident. And so some of the things that came out of that are the foot pursuit policy that we implemented and some of the body camera changes that we've made to our policy, specifically around muting, but there's been other changes too. All those are on our website. Mm-hmm. The final step of that review process comes after the district attorney and the attorney general in this case release their findings and provide them to us, because both of those organizations can do additional investigation as part of their review. The attorney general did do additional investigations. And so we get their results and their review, and then we take that into consideration as part of our final review. So that's the only step left in our internal review.
In your review, is there a subjective area where you, as the chief, make a determination in looking at everything before your recommendation then to the city manager, Howard Chan?
Yeah, it can range from anything. It can range from they're within policy, and so there are no, that's it. They were within the policy. That doesn't mean that that policy doesn't need to change, but you have to judge that by what the policy was at the time. So it can range from that to everything up until termination. So there's a lot of types of discipline in between those two things. everything except for termination is me. I implement that. And even termination, I recommend that to the city manager. So no matter what it is from within policy and there is no discipline or things like that, to the most discipline is something that I have to say.
There was already a call for the officers to be fired. There was a call for them to be charged. Now we know the DA's office will not do that. That amped up the call for them to be fired. How do you navigate the increasing pressure that justice to a lot of people means that these officers will not work any longer for the Sacramento Police Department?
Yeah, and I completely understand people's anger and frustration about this whole thing. But at the same time, somebody's call for them to be fired plays absolutely no bearing on my decision. My decision is based on their actions as they're compared to what our policy was. And for me, justice is a couple things. Justice is when their actions are compared to our policy and legal, if they are within those things, that's justice on one hand. The other part of justice to me is, how do we move forward and ensure that outcomes like this aren't the result of our interactions in our community? That, too, is justice. But justice is not, to me, some belief that an outcome should come without the facts and irregardless of whether they match the law or our policy. To me, that is not justice. Justice is fact-based and compared to what our laws and our policies are.
How much latitude do you feel you have to make a different decision than the DA did? And are you looking, in the way you're describing, through a different tunnel at what your outcome might be?
Well, our policy has law in it, so it's not completely different, but absolutely our policies are oftentimes more strict than the law is. So they're two different things, but they do have overlap. In terms of the leeway I have for implementing discipline on regarding the officers when the legal analysis from the DA is that they were within the law, absolutely leeway. We've done it before. And so her decision doesn't require me to not do discipline. But again, my decisions will be based on our policy and the law and what their actions were and whether I believe they were within that policy or not. And no amount of somebody calling for their termination will change that.
I'm talking with Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn. Let's switch to the subject of cell phones. And the DA said on Saturday that your department provided what she called the phone downloads. What privacy rules apply or don't apply in this case? And I guess specifically because Stephon Clark had died at the scene, what's the access or availability then by law enforcement to his phone contents?
Yeah, again, that's a double-edged sword. And so I also understand the family and close friends' concern about your most private things being put out for the world to see. I can completely understand that. At the same time, if those are facts that play into the district attorney's decision, I believe that she was being transparent of all the things she considered in coming up to her decision. And so I think that's why you'd have to ask her specifically, but I would assume that's why she talked about some of those things. At the same time, this case has had more transparency than for sure ever in the history of the Sacramento Police Department. And I would venture to say, you know, I'm not in every single city across the country, but I would venture to say that there's been more transparency around this case and any case moving forward than ever in the history of our country in any police department. On one hand, that's very good. On the other hand, I also know that transparency isn't going to get to the core of our issues. It's a good thing. I think people deserve to understand and be able to see all the facts so they can come to a decision on their own. But at the same time, there's ramifications for that transparency, too. And so when you look at some of the new bills that are, this case would fit into one of those that has to be released, which very well might be what we do when we're done with all these reviews, release the entire case. And that's the law. So at some point, everybody's going to see the entire case no matter what.
in that transparency, people say, then they should be seeing the officer's state of mind, maybe their circumstances leading up to the night of the shooting, maybe some of their cell phone content. Is that part of the internal investigation? Does the DA have that? Will that or would that be available?
Well, no, it won't be because their phones weren't looked at. And so we haven't traditionally done that in investigations. I don't know any department that does do that. But I do think that's a conversation to be had. I don't think that's completely out of the realm of at least something to talk about, whether that needs to be done in the future. The same thing for toxicology has come up, too. I also don't think that's outside of the realm of things that we can talk about, because I don't really think there's too many things that are outside of the realm of things that we at least potentially should talk about. But in terms of like the toxicology, the only way I can order an officer to give toxicology if there's objective signs that there's something wrong with them, which there were not. But that doesn't mean in the future we can't do that. But that requires us to talk with the union and attorneys and change policy. We can't just change it. There's rights and our system is set up that those have to be negotiated.
A couple quick questions I want to get through. I know you have a schedule to keep. The DA said the key question for her office was a crime committed? What's the key question for your department?
Well, that's our first key question, obviously, is was a crime committed? But the next question for this specific case is, was policy and training followed? And then the bigger question is, after we get done with those two things, regardless of what the results are, because we're still waiting on one of the legs of the criminal side, because that's the attorney general also reviewed it and was part of the investigation. But the bigger question to me moving forward is, are there ways that we can do things differently? Are there things that we can do both in the community and in the police department that will ensure that this is not the result in future cases? And I think we've gone a long ways to that, and there's still ways that we can continue in the future. But all of our officers, if you look at what an officer has and the training they have and the equipment that they have now, it's not even close to what it was when I started. We didn't have tasers when I started. All we basically had was a gun, a baton, and mace. So now every officer has beanbag shotgun rounds, projectile rifles, tasers, pepper balls, and they're used on a very regular basis in our city that ensures that people are held accountable, but at the same day have future days to change and be better people for our community.
Could these two officers, Terrence Mercadal and Jared Robinette, effectively and safely be back on the streets in Sacramento patrolling?
Well, I think that's a distinct possibility, and yes, I do.
So now as we go forward, is there room for policy change that you see could be expanded and make a real difference in the city? Body cams were pivotal here. What's your next point of focus? We just talked about cell phones. That's interesting and new. What else?
Well, yes, I do think there's always, we should always believe that there's ways in the future. Society changes, equipment changes, training changes. I always have hope that that can happen. We have numerous recommendations from the Department of Justice that we will continue to post on our website as we move forward with each one of the recommendations that we haven't already implemented or move forward on. We have Stanford University looking at our Department Center for Policing Equity. The Department of Justice is still moving forward with additional look at our department. So I think there will be positive things that come out of all of those that we must consider and implement a lot of them.
Okay, Chief, quick clarification. The DA said that she had the DOJ's report, which she was able to draw from as a resource, which could have implied that the report was done, but we're still waiting for those results. Can you clarify?
Yes. The Department of Justice did two things on this. One is they also investigated it. So what the district attorney is talking about is their investigative part of the report. So their supplements, their interviews, those sort of things. The part that we're still waiting on is the review from the Department of Justice on whether they believe it's within the law or not. So they're two different things. She has the first half.
Okay. Are you expecting a protest tonight at the Golden One Center?
I don't know, but we have to be prepared for that.
Chief, thank you for your time. Glad to have you in the studio again.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
That was Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn in a conversation we recorded in our studio earlier this morning. In the studio with me now is Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Beth.
So the Attorney General is holding a press conference in about an hour and some change. it's not about the Stephon Clark case, but there's a lot of pressure right now to get some sort of response from the AG.
They're well aware that he'll be asked about it, whether he answers or not. The attorney general has proven that, and he's well experienced, you know, with the media, having been a top Democratic leader in Congress. If he wants to say something about it, he will. If he doesn't want to, he'll defer until his investigation is completed. So we'll see what happens. But the press conference, we should say, is about California suing the Trump administration over the Title 10 family planning and abortion regulations that the Trump administration is coming out with. We knew this lawsuit would be filed, and it is going to be filed today. Also worth noting that at that press conference may or may not be Governor Newsom. We've heard varying things, but will be there is Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins, who has also played a leading role in this use of force debate, convening the two sides for a period of several months late last year and early this year for negotiations. And she's going to continue to play that role moving forward.
Let's talk about the two sides of that debate, which also prompted Mayor Daryl Steinberg over the weekend to sort of gently step into which bill he prefers and then full out say, I do prefer one bill over the other. But let's back up and set up what's being discussed here.
There are two rival bills that were introduced last month, just a couple of weeks ago in the state legislature. And that is because although negotiations began last year when a use of force bill stalled, that bill was fiercely opposed by law enforcement and backed by civil rights groups and community activists. When Pro Tem Atkins said that bill won't move forward this year, she said everyone needs to sit down and negotiate. So she convened talks for months, and there were people at the same table, and they were, all of my reporting suggests, they were respectful talks, even though they acknowledged last month that they needed to take a pause, that each side had gone as far as they could. And for now, with the bill introduction deadline coming up, they were each going to introduce their own bill. They have kind of retreated to their corners in the bills they've introduced. But it's worth noting that law enforcement is putting forth specific language, and they have not done this before, to my knowledge. Law enforcement is putting forth a bill, which means they are acknowledging that change needs to happen. That was something they were resisting last year, or at least they were fighting the bill that was put forth last year. So let's hear right now from Brian Marvel. He's with PORAC, which is a federation of police unions, Peace Officers Research Corporation,
something like that.
Yes, exactly. I'm close, but I'm also sleep deprived. So let's hear from him about what they're looking for in legislation.
My biggest concern and takeaway is that officers are thrust into situations and they have to make decisions in a fairly rapidly evolving situation. So for us, trying to criminalize somebody without giving them all of the tools necessary to get to a level of expectation, I think you're setting officers up for failure.
He's somewhat responding to the other bill that's there, the language that had already been in the process of being discussed.
Yes. And so that the author of that bill is Democratic Assemblywoman Shirley Weber of San Diego. A co-author is Sacramento's local assemblyman Kevin McCarty. Both are Democrats and both believe very strongly that the law needs to change. Here is Assemblymember Weber at a news conference last month when she introduced her bill.
As a mother and a grandmother of young men, there's a fear that we have consistently in our communities about what happens to our children when they simply go out the door. All families have that fear that they will get hit by a car, some accident, or some natural disaster. But it is even deeper pain if you're African American and Latino, because you know that all things can go right and yet they go wrong. That they can be in the right place, they can say the right thing, they can have the right attitude when approached by an officer and still find themselves in situations that take their lives.
I want to make this crystal clear for everyone, Ben. So that is what's called the Weber Bill.
Yes.
That's the bill that Mayor Steinberg stepped out and said, okay, this is the bill that I support.
Even though he knows that what will probably happen is there will be something negotiated
somewhere hybrid
in between them. Yeah.
The Weber bill says what? And then I want you to contrast it and name the other bill.
And the other bill is authored by State Senator Ana Caballero, also a Democrat from Salinas. And so she does have some law enforcement ties. So basically, the question is whether the use of force standard, use of deadly force standard, should be whether an action is reasonable or whether it is necessary. Now, you have to push past that and define what reasonable, which is the current definition, and necessary is. the Weber bill would change the standard to necessary, and it's going to have to be figured out how that is defined. I was just chatting with Police Chief Daniel Hahn in the hallway after he finished your interview, Beth, and he's like, I've heard many different definitions of necessary. And one that I have heard is, well, if someone is holding a very real-looking gun and someone and the officer shoots that person and that very real-looking gun turns out to be a pellet gun, then that shooting wasn't necessary. He's like, I'd have a problem with that. So I think, I hate to use the devil is in the details cliche, but that is why bills are negotiated. That is why good legislation generally comes when everyone sits down at the table and tries to jointly craft a bill. That is what State Senate President Toni Atkins has been trying to do. And when I asked her after Gavin Newsom's State of the State address last month whether that would continue, here is what she had to say.
Well, I made a commitment on this issue, and I take my commitment seriously. Work needs to be done here. Conversations, this is one of the most difficult issues facing, I think, communities, not just in California, but across the country. I'm committed to making sure this dialogue continues until we come to some agreement. I am committed to the balanced needs of protecting citizens and at the same time making sure we have a qualified, trained law enforcement. I do not back off of that commitment to try and get something done this year, and you know, more to come.
So there you have it. Atkins is saying she does intend to put a bill through this year. I think the honest truth, as I mentioned a moment ago, is there is going to have to be a piece of legislation somewhere between the two bills that have been introduced. And there's some question which bill it would be, and that matters for legal reasons as well. But in the end, there will be a compromise. The question is whether it is a compromise that both sides can live with.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
That is Ben Adler. And you can find extensive coverage of the Stephon Clark case and the DA's decision by the Cap Radio news team. It's all at capradio.org. But there's still more ahead in this hour. You're listening to Insight special coverage on Cap Radio.